Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out. His only films to be buried with.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a periwinkle, and I love films. As Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. once said, "The fighter is born, he cannot be made." Sort of like Jack Black. He was born a movie star. You can't really make Jack Black. Know what I mean? He's just sort of born that way. I do. Every week I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died. Then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Kevin Smith, Mark Frost, Jamila Jamil, Sharon Stone, James Acaster, and even Ped Campbells. But this week it is the amazing actor and all-round superstar, Joey King. Get over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes of chat with Joey. Some funny stuff in there. We talk about some amazing secrets. There's a beginning and an ending. We get the whole episode uncut. You get it ad-free and you get it as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Ted Lasso Season 2 and Season 1 is all available on Apple TV+. You can watch the whole lot in one go. Super Bob and Soulmates are available on Amazon Prime in most places. You can enjoy all of those things. So, Joey King. Joey King is an extraordinary actor who's been working since she was 4. She's appeared in everything from The Conjuring to The Dark Knight Rises to The Act to The Lie, and soon she can be seen in Bullet Train with Brad Pitt and the Princess. I'd never met her before. The first time I met her was on the Zoom when we recorded this, and she was a true delight. She was funny, she was brilliant. Some of the best answers we've ever had on this. I think you're really going to love this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 189 of Films to be Buried With. Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, an award winner, and a power player, a most important person under 20, a most important person under 30, a award winner, a nominee, a Dark Knight Riser, a actor, a liar, and a conjurer, and a bullet trainer, and a princess. Can't believe she's here. Please welcome to the show. It's the brilliant, it's Joey King!
Thank you so much. What an intro. A liar and under 20? When was I lying? And when was I named under 20?
Well, I was looking at your CV, which is ridiculous. I mean, you've got 70 jobs there.
Do I?
Yeah. So according to your CV, unless it's a lie. Is it lies?
I don't think it's lying. I don't know.
You've done 70 jobs and you're 6 years old. It's an extraordinary achievement. But the thing that's most interesting looking at it, there is a theme that you've done a thing called The Lie. You've done a thing called The Act.
Oh, I see.
You've done a thing called The Conjuring. I'm starting to think you can't be trusted, Joey King.
I'm starting to think that I always have to have a "the" in front of my projects.
The fraud. Something's up. Also, you've been in The Conjuring and Dark Knight Rises, two absolute bangers. And I don't know, in Conjuring, what were you in The Conjuring? I fucking love The Conjuring.
I was one of the sisters in the family that's being haunted by the by the ghosts, the spirits, the demons, the scaries.
How was it to film a film like that where you have to jump and things are happening? Is it It's hard to do, actually.
So I've actually filmed a lot of scary movies in my life, but it's not very scary to film a scary movie, but filming The Conjuring was scary. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
please.
That movie really, like, I love it. Like, God bless that movie. It's amazing. Well, actually, that's a weird thing to say because it's filled with demons. But, like,
God bless that movie and keep us
God
safe.
God bless that movie and keep us safe. But that movie, in the way that it was supposed to traumatize audiences, also traumatized me a little bit. It really, really scared me. And I was 13, I was 12 when I made that movie. I'm 22 now. And I still think about that movie on a regular basis and how much it scares me. Like, I can't think about the witch, not character, because, like, apparently she's real. I can't think about her without just, like, sending myself into, like, cold sweats and, like, freaking out. Like, I really... That movie really messed me up in a way of, like, when I watched it, especially. But the scene that the big scene that I had where, like, I get yanked off the bed by my leg. After I filmed the movie, I had to sleep with a pillow at the bottom of my bed for 6 months, as if that would stop, you know, a spirit. But, like, that was what I did because I was so freaked out.
You know what I really love about that is a lot of people who are scared of horror films, they go like, oh, one way I like stop myself being scared is I imagine how it was filmed and then it stops me being scared and I just think, well, there's a camera there. You were making that film and it scared you. So no one's safe. I love that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the environment. Like, everyone was amazing. James Wan was our director. He was the best. Like, everyone was so nice. We had a lot of fun making it, but, like, weird things happened on set and
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I'm actually going to tell you, by the way, this was, even though it may seem narcissistic, it was the answer to what movie scared you the most.
Are we jumping ahead? Are we jumping ahead? Should we save this then?
Okay, we can save it. I'll save it.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, don't let me ruin any flow. I'm really excited to hear this. But now I'm kind of like, people are going, when do we get to the ghost story? So maybe...
Well, we'll know that this is the answer to number two, and I'll tell you the story now. But I had, you know, in the movie when, like, the mother starts to develop all these, like, bruises on her body because it's, like, a phase of when the ghost starts to possess you, I guess. So during around those times we were filming those specific scenes, I was starting to, like, notice I had these huge bruises on myself. But in, like, this bizarre places, like on my chest, like right here, or like on my stomach, or like on my back, like just places where it wasn't like, you know, you bump a table and your hip gets a bruise, or you fall on your knee and you got bruises. It was like these large, grotesque, like angry bruises in spots that just like didn't make sense. And my mom took me to the doctor because she was like, maybe you're like anemic or something. Like, who knows what's happening? Of course, they saw the bruises. The doctor pulled me aside and was like, does your mother abuse you? And I was like, no, like, I don't know what's going on. She brought me here for these bruises, please. Anyway, we found out through like blood tests that my platelet count, your platelet count's supposed to be like between, I think, 300,000 and 500,000 red platelets. Mine had like depleted down to like 5,000. Like, I was at such a high risk of internal bleeding. It was like out of nowhere. I've never had problems like this before. And so for the next couple months while shooting the movie, I would have to go to the hospital before work and after work to get my blood taken to test if my platelets were going back up or going back down. They wanted to do a blood transfusion. And my mom said, what if her body rejects the blood? I don't want her doing that. Like, let's just try to build it up on her own. I had to get like a special note from the doctor to bring to set to like tell them how limited my action can be. Like, I couldn't do certain scenes that had been written in because I was so weak. Oh, and so for a couple months, every day I went to the hospital, got tested, you know, my platelets would like creep up a little bit and then creep back down. So I got home after the movie thinking I was going to have to continue with this, you know, going to the hospital thing. Like, I think the second blood test I had when I got home, my platelets were completely back to normal. And I've never had a problem since that. And it really, really freaked me out.
Oh, my God.
I've never, ever had an... It was a blood disorder called ITP. And I've never had a trace of anything wrong with my blood before that incident or since. I actually donate my blood. Like, my blood's great.
Internal terrible phantom. Is that what it stands for? You were possessed.
Amazing that you just came up with that on the spot. That's so funny.
Oh my God. You were haunted making The Conjuring.
And that, like, that whole story, like, everyone knew about it on set. Like, everyone knew what was happening, and everyone was, like, pretty, like, spooked by it. I remember, like, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga were, like, very, that story and what was happening to me while shooting, everyone was pretty on edge, honestly.
Yeah. You know, there's a story, I think about this a lot, when the film The Passion of the Christ was being made, Jim Cavazzini, who was playing Jesus Christ, was on the cross and got struck by lightning, I believe, more than twice. Now, don't you think, oh, we should probably stop making this film where I'm Jesus because God don't seem happy about it? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm shocked right now. Yeah. Are you serious?
I'm serious. He talks about it on a chat show. Like, yeah, I'm like, I mean, you shut down your God film. The day you get struck by lightning on the set of your God film, you stop making your God film, don't you?
That's what I would say.
You had internal terrifying phantom.
And I mean, I didn't get punished by God himself for making a God movie, but something close to it. I got punished by some demons, I guess. I don't know. I was so, so freaked out. And especially because if it happened to someone else, I would have been so freaked out too. But it was happening to me. And I was like, I simply am too afraid at this moment.
I mean, also, like, what a commitment. That's real method acting. You got possessed while making The Conjuring. I mean, huge respect.
It was all a plan, you know. I, like, really, like, just wanted to dive so deep into my character work.
That's fucking scary, man. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Listen, we've hung out a very short period of time, but you already seem very cool and well adjusted. Now, you started acting at 4, right?
I did.
How come you're not mad?
How come I'm not mad? Yeah. That's a good question. You know, I think that it's interesting, right? Because I feel like a lot of people get a sour taste in their mouth with just like the term child actor and like just like the association with people going mad, as you say. And it's true. Yeah. I mean, like, it's a really scary thing because you are surrounded by adults. You're in this adult world from such a young age. But I think that what is the difference and what's the key element in staying grounded or just staying normal and just feeling like you have a normal life is your family. And I was lucky enough to have a family that was like, you're a kid first, you're an actor as well. But that's like, the way my family made me view acting, and my mom especially, was like, this is something that I liked to do. And if I stopped liking to do it, I wasn't going to be doing it.
Right.
And like, so going on set for me wasn't, it didn't feel like work as a child. It was more like, I get to go hang out with all these adult friends that I love and that I have. Like, they're so sweet. And it really just like, you know, I was in situations and I have had opportunities that, you know, you can put yourself on a really bad path and a really bad road. And like, you're presented with these moments and you're like, you have to just kind of shut yourself down and be like, this is not what I want to choose. Like, I want to have like a happy life, a normal life, a life where I'm close to my family. But like, as you get a little bit older and you're in these situations and you go to these parties and you are around these people, those opportunities do present themselves. But I feel like I was raised in a really healthy way where I feel like I was equipped to make those decisions in the moment. So amazing. I think that's why I'm not mad.
Amazing answer. Really, really amazing. I just checked my notes as well. And having heard that answer, I feel sick about this.
Oh, no.
I've forgotten to tell you something and it's such a shame. It's such a shame.
No, what is it? No,
no,
what?
It's really, it makes me feel sick actually, but.
I'm
glad we had the conversation we had because maybe it would have gone differently had you known this, but I'll just say, you've died. You're dead. Dead.
Shit.
Dead. You're dead.
Shit.
I know. And listen, you'd had a solid career, let's be honest. You'd done 70 things. That was enough.
I guess I mean, I don't even know what a legacy means, but I guess I have one. I don't know.
Yeah, you got a great legacy. You had a good run.
What the hell is a legacy anyway?
Yeah. Does it matter? Tell me, how did you die, Joey King?
Well, it was a cold Los Angeles day. Let's see here. I was, you know what I was doing? I was putting up my Christmas lights, even though I'm Jewish. And I love Christmas, celebrate Christmas. In March, because, and that's the reason I died, because the universe was like, you deserve to die if you're putting up your Christmas lights in March. And so I was putting up some lights around my house, right? And then, just like our friend Jesus Christ, I got electrocuted and I fell off my ladder, but it was a quick death. And the coyotes found me, so my family didn't have to find me, and they ate me. And so I nourished the world as the world has nourished me.
Does your family know you're dead? Because if there was no trace of you, the coyotes took you away, do they just think you've gone missing? You've gone silent?
No, because that would be really, that would be too much emotional turmoil if they just thought I was missing. I think that there was a, I think they left half of my face.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't traumatic for them.
So that they know I'm fully gone.
Yeah.
But the coroner's report deduced that I was in no pain when I died, and that the coyotes ate me, and that no one killed me.
Did the lightning kill you or the fool?
It was the, no, you're, thank you for clarifying that. Cause yeah, no, it was the electric charge of the Christmas lights that I got from Costco. And so I'm suing Costco. Just kidding. I love Costco. I've got a membership. Thanks, Costco.
Costco, if you're listening, I just want you to know I really love you.
I really love everyone. Love your pizza. Please don't be upset.
You're the best. You're the best. This is just like a hypothetical death, right? You'd never kill me.
It's just a hypothetical death. I still want to buy Claritin and bulk every couple months.
Sounds like you're being held hostage by Costco. I'm worried about this god that we have discussed in today's episode that strikes down Jim Cazavizavia for making a film he didn't like, and you for, he don't mind you celebrating Christmas, but he does mind it at the wrong time of year.
Yeah. He's like, it's March. What the fuck?
It's like 12 days of Christmas. 12 days are over. You put away the lights. Otherwise,
you just put them away.
Otherwise, absolutely. I'll get you like I got Jim Cazavizavia.
So scary.
What a vengeful. I mean, this is some real Old Testament God here, but also really keeping tabs on the dates. What do you think happens?
What do I feel about
die?
God? Thank you for asking.
Yeah, what do you feel?
Is there one? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, what do you think happens when you die?
Okay, so for me, I don't know. I feel like I like the idea. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I learned this when I was young. I'm not very religious at all. I grew up, my mom's Jewish, my dad's not, but I always gravitated more towards Judaism. It just meant more to me. Like, I just feel a really deep spiritual connection to Judaism more than like a religious one. But I feel like there's part of me that's like, oh, there's nothing. Like, nothing happens. Like, we die and like nothing happens. But then there's also part of me that's like, what if we just come back? Like, what if we keep being recycled? And then there is a story that my grandmother told me and my mom told me as well, that when I was a little girl, I have no recollection of this. I was 2 years old when I said this to them. I didn't have my first memory yet. They told me when I was a little bit older that when I was 2 years old, I told my mom, and by the way, I'm named after my grandfather, Joseph. He passed away about a few years before I was born. And I told my mom that in one life before this one, I was her dad. And I said that when I was two. And then I said it in another life before that one, I was her aunt. And so I don't have any memory of saying this. I don't also have any memory of a past life, but I kind of feel like, I don't know if I believe in reincarnation, but how beautiful would it be if we come back as people, like as just a different form of someone that other people had loved before in our families? I think that's so beautiful.
I think you've got it right, Joey King. I think that is what happens.
And, you think so? Is that what you, I mean, I love that thought.
Well, I think so. And I think it, you know, there's a, you don't remember this, right? You don't remember telling your mum that, but there's a thing. I read this, I don't know. Let's assume it's true. I read it somewhere, that most people don't develop memories till you're about three, because when you start developing memories is when you can tell a story. When you have the actual sort of sentence structure of a story is when your brain starts retaining stuff, because you can tell yourself that story. But the stuff that's happening before that, I reckon, is when you're still many souls, and then you start to sort of solidify into your person at three.
I really like that. I really, really like. And also, like, on a little bit of a darker note, I think it might be why, like, this is a joke that I feel like a lot of people know, and like I also make myself. I'm like, you know, like as a Jewish person, I've got a lot of stomach problems. Like, I feel like I'm just always like have a stomach problem. But then I was kind of thinking about it and I was like dissecting this with my fiance and I was like, and I think I also read this somewhere, it could be untrue, but like, it would make sense if we do come back as people who are familiar with ourselves, like, you know, in the same families and stuff, because I think that why a real reason that a lot of Jewish people do have genuine stomach problems is from like ancestry trauma.
Historical trauma.
And I think that like it just materialized in a way where like we just have like nervous stomachs all the time. And I actually like, it sounds kind of funny, but I actually think it might be true. Like it makes a lot of sense. And I read that somewhere as well. And I was like, you know, like that doesn't shock me. Like, at all, like, because, like, why do we all have IBS? And it all makes sense now.
January Jones, friend of the podcast, January Jones, when she was on the podcast, told me a story that when she gave birth to her son, she pulled him out of her and looked him in the eye and thought, "You are my granddad."
Oh my God, like, that's beautiful.
They'd seen each other before. They looked at each other. It's like, here we are again.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's what like that story and like what I told my grandmother and my mom when I was a kid. It's just like, how can you, especially when a small child says it, I've never heard of reincarnation in my life. I don't have a memory yet. It's like, how can you not like take that as like a sign of something more? It might be happening. Maybe it's not. Like, I don't know what I believe truly. Like, I don't know. I don't pray. I don't go to temple or church. I just feel like, hey, maybe there's something more going on here. I don't really know if heaven or hell is the thing, but, you know, I do like the idea that something is bigger than us.
Well, I got news for you, Joey King. There's a heaven. There's a stop-off point. You come back to heaven for a bit before you decide to come back and raise your parents. And they're very excited to see you in heaven. Very excited. Big fans of all your work. Everyone here has seen all 70. They did a marathon and it took them 5 weeks to watch everything you'd ever done. And with no gaps. And
are you there as well, by the way? Like,
I'm on the door. I'm on the door.
Cool. You're the welcome committee.
Yeah. I'm on the door checking your ID and stuff. Seeing if there's anything we need.
You 21 are over.
Yeah, with you, we really had to check. I was like, she's done so much stuff. She's probably about 50. Let's let her in. What is filled with your favorite thing, though? What's your favorite thing?
Oh, man, my favorite thing. Like, it has to be a thing, not a person. Like, a thing.
It's a, whatever. It could be cheese, could be a person. What's your favorite thing?
I'm going to narrow it down to not people, because then I'm like, oh, God. Like, everyone, if anyone listens to this, you know, grandma's going to be pissed, mom. Yeah, fiance, exactly. Everyone's like, why didn't you say me? I'm going to go thing here. I really love brisket slow cooked for like 14 hours.
Okay. Don't know if you'll regret that choice, because basically your heaven is made of slow cooked brisket. The walls are made of brisket. I mean, comfortable seats.
I always said that if I was on death row, my last meal would be my grandmother's brisket with a peanut butter milkshake for dessert. So I'm okay with that.
Well, everything is made of brisket. You're sitting on brisket. The walls are brisket. The floor's brisket. Your bed is brisket.
You know, when you say a word over and over again, it starts to just sound like a noise and not a word. That's what's happening when you say brisket.
Brisket. Brisket. It's brisket. It's brisket. Brisket. There's brisket and the brisket.
Mom's brisket. Sweater all over is brisket.
Brisket. Brisket. Brisket. Brisket. But in this brisket, they are obsessed with films. They want to know about your life, but through the medium of brisket films. And the first thing they ask you is, what is the first film that you remember seeing, Joey King?
Well, speaking of first memories, I was about 3 years old.
Yeah.
It was a movie, it was a TV movie, and I think it was called Haunted, but I'm not sure. I remember the setting too. I had just come home from gymnastics class. I was wearing a purple leotard with a butterfly on the front that had a tulle tutu. And I came home and me and my middle sister Hunter were on the couch together and this TV movie called Haunted was on. It was the first movie I remember seeing, this first scary movie I remember seeing. It was the first anything I remember even watching. This movie, I think, set the tone for why I really am just so scared of horror movies throughout my entire life now. Like, and it was so poorly made. It was such a bad, bad movie. It was like there was a scene where this woman was in the kitchen. And then she walked out of the kitchen and then she came back in the kitchen and all the cabinets were open. And that was like the climax scare. Like, and it was just so bad. And I was like, the cabinets opened on their own. And I was like 3 years old. And I just remember this movie is like ingrained in my brain. I was so scared. My mom came home that day and I was like crying. And my sister got in trouble. And she was like, why did you let your sister watch this movie? Like, and my sister was like, I didn't know. Like, it was just on TV. And like, I didn't know it would scare her that bad. Like, whatever. And I can't get over every detail of that day. Like, I'll never forget what I was wearing. I'll never forget her getting in trouble. And I'll never forget that stupid cabinet scene. And I don't even know if it was called Haunted. The
cabinet sounds fucking scary.
It was pretty poorly done practical effect.
Are you three sisters?
Three sisters. I'm the baby. There's middle right. Hunter. And then there's oldest Kelly. Yeah.
Are you all super tight?
Super tight. Like, super. They're very close in age. I was a big shock at the end. I'm like 6 and 7 years apart from them.
A shock's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. My mom straight up was like, oh, shit. But we're super duper close.
I like hearing that. Did you think, I want to be on something like this? Or do you just remember being scared?
That was not the film that inspired my acting career. That's my fear of life. instilled there's ghosts everywhere, and I'm not safe. That's what it felt like. So was that. It could also not be called Haunted. I just don't fully remember.
Well, you've just made up the title. It might have been an advert. What is the... What is the film that made you cry the most, Joey King? Are you a crier?
I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball here. I have two answers, really, but I'm going to give the one that I most recently bawled at. I don't know how to pronounce his last name necessarily, but I think it's Derek Dalguadio, his In and of Itself documentary film thing. Did you watch that?
In and of Itself. Oh, is this the are you talking about the magician guy?
I am. Have you seen that?
No, it's never been available where I am, and I really want to see it. Tell me. It's made by Frank Oz, right?
I think so, yeah. It's a really, really special film. It is like sobbing, just so beautiful, like so impactful. It's like it's magic on crack. But like so I feel like he really gets you into it. He really blows your mind a couple times, and then it gets like so emotional and so personal, and like he's such a performer. It's like amazing. I was so shocked by how much that film moved me. Like I heard a recommendation from a few friends, watch this movie, it's like really cool about magic and it's really emotional, and I was like, it's magic, sure, but it really was so deeply moving. So I highly recommend that. But the first film I think I ever really bawled at as a kid that also like was kind of life-changing for me as far as my connection to like pets was Marley and Me. Oh, I want to preface this interview a little bit with the fact that like you're gonna hear some answers today, but yeah, so I want to preface this though, like growing up my family, I'm a late in life movie lover, like, and late in life I'm 22, I'm still very young, but based on growing up, I didn't grow up with great movies really necessarily. We were allowed to go to Walmart and pick movies out from the $5 bin, one each. And that was like our special thing. Like we didn't get to have a lot of movies. So I had this big, what do you call it? Like a big folder, like a big like zip up folder of DVDs, like over 100 DVDs of just like Walmart $5 bin movies. And that's what me and my sisters grew up on. So my knowledge of film was a little stunted initially. Yeah. I think has grown. So a lot of my answers are very, you're like, okay, like that's really what impacted you the most. Like, all right. But this is what I grew up on. It's what I had. So like, I didn't have, I had Walmart $5 bin movies and that's what I got.
That's fucking great. Listen, they exist for someone. You know what I mean? Like if they affected you, that's fucking beautiful.
Well, that's why I've never seen most of anyway, the Disney princess movies. Because those were a little too expensive. They were like the $13 movies. They were not in the $5 bin. So I never saw Cinderella. I never saw Sleeping Beauty. I never saw any of those. So, which really surprises people, but I still haven't seen them. Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot to look forward to. all right. So we are at the question, what is the film that scared you the most? And I think The Conjuring, given that it actually physically haunted you, is a pretty solid answer.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that one. I mean, I could say it's definitely, I think that I've pretty much avoided a lot of serious scary movies since that. I've seen like some that were really scary. Like I've seen The Babadook. I've seen, you know, Evil Dead. I've seen Blair Witch Project. But like those were all like not by choice. Like I don't like scary movies. I don't like watching them. I don't like the way they make me feel. I don't like being scared. It's not something I seek out. That's for sure.
Okay. Also, yeah, The Conjuring made you physically ill. So it's a really good answer. Probably the best answer we've had to that question.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my yeah. God. That's, you know, I'm glad my illness served me well today.
It's finally paid off. What is the film most people don't like? It is not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally.
Okay. I mean, I have a lot. A movie that I love that is not critically acclaimed, but I love unconditionally is Step Brothers. That movie, I mean, actually, no, that is critically acclaimed. No, sorry, Major Pain, I think, is the one. That's my answer to this one. That's my answer to this question. Yeah, Step Brothers is another question. Major Pain.
Is that Damon Wayans?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. That movie, like, I, like, blew out our disc. That's how many times I've watched the movie. Major Pain is one of mine and my sister's favorite movies in the freaking world. I can quote every single line of that movie. My group chat with my sisters is called Little Patch of Brussels Sprouts because there is a part in that movie where he forced the cadets to bury themselves in soil and just their heads are poking out. He's watering them and he's, you know, punishing them. I don't remember why. And then he goes, "All right, my little patch of Brussels sprouts, uproot yourselves." And then they all get out of they worm their, and it just like every part of that movie is so like, why is it so funny? It's so funny. And it's so like not a movie that people talk about all the time. It's just great.
It's the first time Major Pain has come up and I love it. And I'm going to give you 20 points for that.
Is the first time it's come up?
It's the first time anyone has mentioned Major Pain. And it's a disgrace it's taken this
long. In films to be buried with, no one is talking about that banger of a movie.
Thank you, Joey King, for finally bringing it. Major Pain.
I think that's why you made this podcast, so someone can talk about Major Pain.
Bring back Major Pain.
So good.
Major Pain will
so
be good. The It's a Wonderful Life of 40 years time where people be like, people didn't talk enough about it at the time, and now it's an absolute classic.
It's so... It's so funny. Like, it has no business being so funny. It's ridiculous. It's just hilarious.
That's no business. It's very rude. It's very rude to be that funny. What's the film that you used to love, but you've watched recently and you don't love so much anymore? For whatever reason that might be. Joey King.
So, as I said, this big folder of DVDs. I was thinking about this question real hard and I called my sister Kelly and I was like, okay, what's a movie that we really like... just loved, and if we watched it today, it just like would not hold up. And then we both settled on Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow's movie Shallow Hal. That movie, have you seen that movie?
That is a troubled movie.
That movie was so great to me when I was a kid. That movie is so problematic. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So that is definitely a movie that, you know, you're a little kid, you have no sense of what's right and wrong, really.
Yeah.
And then you get older and you're like, oof, I loved that movie.
But also that movie is the ultimate, I must have said this on a podcast 100 episodes ago, so forgive me. But it's a total paradox that makes no sense, that film. Because the message of the film is, looks don't matter.
Yeah.
But to express it, he has to see her as Gwyneth Paltrow so that, like, it doesn't make any sense. The film is at odds with itself.
That's the thing. I like the message. I think that's like they were trying to go for a message there, but I think maybe that's that message.
Yeah.
They might have like come up with that in press because they realized they made such a problematic movie and they're like, oh shit, we have to say there's a message to the film. What do you hope people take away? I don't know. Looks don't matter. It's like, wait a minute, but you just made a movie about how looks are the only thing that matters.
Yeah. It's wild, that film. Really wild.
That, you know that question, by the way, when you're doing press for, like, I've done this a couple times for a movie that, like, for movies that I think are good and stuff, but, like, to me, there's not really a message you take away from this movie. And then the interviewer, like, so what do you hope people take away from this? And you're like, I don't know. Question. I hope they were entertained.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, man. Thanks for asking, but I don't know. My dog just popped into the room, too.
That is a nice dog.
He's a beautiful guy.
Really nice dog.
He's a foxhound. 75 pounds of pure love, Jesse.
Nice dog.
Jesse James.
Tell me this. What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but the experience you had around seeing the film that will always make it special to you, Joey King.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
I'm very excited to answer this question because I've got an answer that's unexpected, but it's definitely not about the movie itself. When I was growing up, Middle sister, Hunter. Every time a Disney Channel original movie premiered on Disney Channel, Hunter and I would set up a little themed night in our living room. And it was so sweet because Hunter was 6 years older than me. And she was like, both my sisters, I have to say, just like, so inclusive. They always made me feel like I was like part of everything, even though I was so much younger. They're the best. They made my childhood so awesome. So Hunter, whenever a Disney Channel original movie premiered, would do this thing. And it was kind of just for us. Like, she didn't invite friends over when she did this. So I remember when the Cheetah Girls premiered on Disney Channel, Hunter went out and bought us like matching cheetah ears and like matching cheetah skirts. And then we had these cheetah sheets and she made a blanket fort out of them. And then we just sat in this blanket fort with a bowl of snacks, just watching the Cheetah Girls together and then learning the dance moves afterwards. And it was like, I don't remember anything about that movie, but every time one of those movies premiered, Hunter would always make it a point to like make this special night for us. And that one, that was like the first one. And I'll always remember that.
That's so great. I really like that. I like Hunter.
Really sweet.
Hunter's all right. Is listen, I don't think she listens to this, so can I just ask, is Hunter your favorite?
That's a pretty fucked up question, Brett.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have a favorite.
You've definitely got a favorite. Who's your favorite?
It's definitely not Drew. Kelly's like a pretty freaking amazing sister.
Oh, listen.
She just didn't participate in the Cheetah Girls night. I think she was out with friends.
I'm a huge fan of Kelly too. Listen, they're both absolute class, but which one's your favorite? One of them is your favorite.
You know what it is? My favorite is.
Thank you. Tell you what, we'll save it for the secret in the Patreon section. You can tell me who your favorite sister is. What is the film that you most relate to, Joey King?
I most relate to? Throw me a curveball here. Oh no. Shit. That I most relate to? Fuck. I wasn't prepared for this one. I didn't see this one on the lineup.
No.
I'm trying to think here. Maybe I'll use another answer of mine for this, though, because a movie that I feel like makes me feel so warm inside because it's about so much more than just what's on the film itself. Like, it's about food. It's about like friendship. It's just so good. I never get tired of watching the movie Ratatouille. I think there's something so special about that movie. And Jesse, hi, buddy. It was, I can't remember what I had it written down for, which answer I had it written down for, but it's a movie that I feel like it has such like a larger message behind it. It is so well made. It is so easy to watch and put yourself in Remy the Rat's shoes. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's, and it's so funny too. Every character in that movie is so well like fleshed out and hilarious and different and ridiculous. And you can find yourself in any of those characters given what mood you watch that movie in. So, yeah. Oh my God, you're getting tangled in my wires, Jesse. You're a big fat head.
Jesse.
Jesse James. Look at him.
Jesse James,
so
behave
cute.
Yourself. Really nice dog.
Hey, buddy.
What is the sexiest film you've ever seen, Joey King?
Oh my God. Please don't moan after that question, Jesse.
For the listener, just in case there's any confusion, that was the sound of a dog, not Joey King getting
can you
excited
imagine
by
if
the
I...
question.
Okay, the sexiest film I've ever seen. It was actually kind of what I describe as my sexual awakening, which was Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was such a big fan of that movie growing up. When I was around like ages like 14 to like 16, I would go to the shows all the time in Santa Monica where they do... have you ever been to one of those Rocky Horror shows where
I
they
have...
Do you know what it is? Like,
Yeah.
Where they have actors... they have actors acting out the entire film in front of the movie playing behind, and you like throw props and you have like prompts that you yell. And so that movie, I remember like watching it at 14 and just being like, oh my God. Like I was so affected by it. It was so amazing. It was so weird. It was so kooky.
So sorry, you saw it at one of these late night things with the actors and everything.
For the first time, yeah.
Right, okay.
And then I continued to go after that on a lot of Saturday nights with my friend Emma. And we would go, and we would sometimes go just the two of us, and sometimes we'd gather a bunch of friends. And, like, it was funny, like, every now and then if I start, like, dating a new guy, I would, like, bring him as, like, a litmus test. And if he didn't enjoy the experience, I was like, no. So it was, like, it was such a important movie for me, I think, like, in, like, you know, that pubescent, like, sexual awakening phase of your life.
Interesting. Joey King, I'm so sorry about this subcategory question, but here we are. There's a subcategory to the question, Troubling Boners, Worrying Wydons. What's a film you found arousing you weren't sure you should, Joey King? I'm so sorry.
I have an answer for you.
Thank you, I appreciate
it. I need you to hear me out here, okay? Hear me out. Okay. This is not a movie, more of a character. Now, Goofy's laugh... in the Mickey Mouse world, Goofy sounds a little bit like he's choking on a dick, in my opinion. And I don't in any sense find that arousing or troubling boner for myself, but I find it a little bit of a, I find myself to be a little unwell for thinking that in the first place. I find myself to be a little disturbed for thinking that Goofy sounds like he's choking on a cock. So I think that would be my answer for this question.
Joey King. Finally, someone has taken this question seriously. Joey King moves into the top two answers to that question.
Oh my God, what? That's amazing.
That is amazing. And I'm really, can I say proud? I'm proud.
Oh, wait, what was number one?
That might be number one.
Oh, shit.
That might be number one. That's a proper, that is a proper answer to that question. And because of you, I'm going to keep asking it.
And I remember the night that I had this realization. And just to make sure, I was like, I was thinking about this. And I was like, I'm going to answer that on this podcast. And I was like, but... You know, I think that I feel very vulnerable because I don't think it's a good look, you know, to say that in public.
No, but I think that's why it's, I'm really
impressed. But I looked it up to just make sure I wasn't nuts. I just was like, let me just quickly YouTube a little video of Goofy's laugh. And sure enough, that man has a penis in his mouth for sure when he's laughing.
Goofy.
Yeah, well, I guess that's... but I just want to set the record straight. It does not in any way arouse me. It's just an observation.
No, that's a perfect answer, and I really appreciate you sharing that.
I got a standing ovation from you. That really means
it was really big because you know that question. Sometimes I think, should it go?
No, God, like, I think it's the best. It really forces someone to think about themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I just think some people don't like it, but you really embraced it, and you're really impressive. Thank you so much. Major pain in that. Whew, one episode.
I feel so good about myself right now.
What is the objectively the greatest film of all time? Objectively. Might not be your favorite. Objectively the greatest film.
So this is the one that I was like tossing up with Ratatouille as well, because I feel like it's so good. But I'm actually, because I wasn't prepared for your freaking related to question, I actually am going to say, and I don't want people to think I'm like, you know, a Disney adult or anything, because I'm not, but I do love,
nothing wrong with that.
I heard you actually talk about this movie in one of your other episodes, and I fully, like, just kind of going back to talking about what we were talking about earlier with, do we come back, do we not, like, you know, and also in relation to, are we remembered when we go, like, and who cares, and do we care? Okay. And the movie Coco, yeah, that movie just annihilated my heart a little bit when I saw it in such an amazing way. And after that, like, and it kind of like, me and my mom saw it together with, I think, my like sister and my grandma. It was kind of beautiful. It was just a little family outing when we went to see it. And it was just, we were all so deeply affected by it. We were like, we want to start putting out photos of our of our deceased relatives on Dias dos Muertos. I think that's how you pronounce it. So that movie, I think I'll put that in place of Ratatouille for objectively. But again, I am not a Disney adult. These just happen to be my answers.
Hey, listen, when you were young, you were in the $5 bin, not the Disney bin. So you're catching up. And this is Coco is fucking brilliant and a really good answer. My question that's really troubling me is, you went with your mum, your grandma and your sister. You went, so. Where's the other sister? It's because you took the favorite, isn't it?
Shit, you're coming back around to this. I actually don't remember who I went. I just remember that the three of us were there. Me, grandma, mom, for sure. I think a friend might have come too. God, Brett, you just get off my back.
You left the other one at home because she's not the favorite. I get it.
We forgot her.
Coco, yeah, it made me feel better about death, Coco.
Me too, actually. Yeah. And it was so beautiful too. It was such a beautiful, like, not just the emotionalness of it, but just visually, it was stunning. So that movie just like, it was really cool.
What's the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
This is the stepbrother's answer. Me and both my sisters are like, it's funny because we've never had, like, it's not like that's our relationship. We'd never have been like Brennan and, now I can't even remember the other stepbrother's name, but we just love that movie. It is so funny to us. It's just, and it's also like, it's so funny, but it's not even funny anymore because I've like, seen it so many times. It's just like, it just feels so like cozy to watch it over and over again. Because you, like, you know, I love watching new films. I like learning new things. I like new experiences. But there's something sometimes about putting on a movie that you know so, so well and just being able to like get cozy. It's just, that's that movie for me. It is so ridiculously fun. And like, again, with Major Payne, we know every line of Step Brothers, and especially the niche ones, like not even the ones that everyone quotes all the time. Sometimes I just hit someone with a really like kind of forgettable quote from that movie and they're like, what's that from? I'm like, really think about it, motherfucker, really think about it. So that movie is definitely an over and over again one for me.
Really good. Here's the question for you. I don't like being negative. I don't think you do, Joe King. I could be wrong. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
It's true. I don't like being negative because I think when people make a movie, it's an incredible feat. Like, to have a movie get made is so hard that if you're trying something, like, I'm a pretty generous viewer, I think. If I'm being told to feel something by the filmmakers, I pretty much feel that. Like, I really love watching stuff and just, like, with Rocky Horror, I think they wanted me to feel a little bit aroused. And I was like, hey, I will generously give you that. I am. So, a movie that I know when I saw it was like, this is just so bad, but I love it so much, is I think Showgirls is a pretty terrible, amazing, beautiful, horrible, ridiculous movie. And I think it's so appropriate and so nice that it has had such a cult following because it deserves it, because it's bad, but it's great.
Yeah.
And we deserve to celebrate that bad movie forever and ever and ever. I love that movie.
I love that movie. It's one of them films where I don't know, like, it's consistent tonally. It's like, as in, it seems to be the film they meant to make. Like, as in, when you watch The Room, for whatever it is, seems to be kind of quite badly made and confused and all over the place. Whereas Showgirls is consistent. It seems to be the film they wanted to make. You might not like that film that they made, but it doesn't seem like it was a mistake. You know what I mean?
It doesn't seem like it was a mistake. Everything seems purposeful. And I also have to say, it's a very exciting film for me too, because I watched it for the first time with my little cousin, who is about, he just turned 18. So we watched it when he was like 16. And I think I was with him for his sexual awakening film. And I think that's pretty special. I didn't realize what was going on in the movie when I popped in with him.
Oh, and you'd never seen it before. That was the first time
It was the first time I'd ever seen it. And he was at my house. And it was like, I think, I don't remember who else was over, but I just like every now and then I periodically looked over at my little cousin and I was just like, oh my God, he is suppressing a boner so hard right now. He is just, he's like sweating. He's like forehead vein was like popping out. He was like freaking out over there.
Did you keep going, ha ha ha, this is funny, isn't it? And he'd be going, yeah, it's so funny.
Afterwards, I was just like, so Joe, how'd you feel? He was like, that was the best movie I've ever seen. So there's something for everyone, you know what I mean?
I got no beef with Showgirls. Absolutely love it. what is the listen? You're very funny, Joe King. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
That's Jesse again, moaning. It's not me, Jesse. Please stop it, buddy. Okay, still going. Go upstairs. Go.
Jesse, what's the film that made you cry the most?
I don't even know what to say right now. Jesse, get out of here. Go. 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 Okay. The films that made me laugh the most. I've got kind of two answers for this, but I will start with my original answer. What We Do in the Shadows is a movie that I had, like, I was doubled over. My stomach was hurting. I was, go outside. I was laughing so hard. I was like, my abdomen was like sore afterwards. It was, what is wrong with you? Go away. Look at him. He's just standing in the doorway okay, he seems to have stopped. Okay. But yeah, that movie, What We Do in the Shadows, it's just, I remember the first time I saw it too. It was like, it was described to me as like a documentary style parody of vampires living in like being roommates. And I was like, I'm sorry. First of all, the concept alone, how do you get more like genius than that? Like what? And I watched it and it was just like the funniest, truly like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like I haven't watched it in like maybe a year or so, but it's another movie that also just blew my mind with how funny it was and how ridiculous it was. I'm kicking you out, buddy. Hang on. I'm going to kick him out.
Okay.
Go out. Go. You were being loud and obnoxious. Okay. He's gone. I'll miss him too. I love when he like hangs out. I also love when he talks, but it's not great for sound because it sounds like someone's moaning in the background. But another movie besides What We Do in the Shadows that just absolutely cracked me up, and I know you're not supposed to do double answers, but I'm here breaking the rules, Brett, you know. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is so funny. Yeah. It's so funny. I watched it for the first time not so long ago, and I was really just like now it's all I think about. Really? It's all I think about. It is so perfectly my sense of humor, that movie. Like it is just, I watched it and I was like, where has this movie been all my life? This is exactly who I am. I love it.
Yeah. It's so charming. It's so charming. What charming.
And I love how
film.
Different. It's so charming. And I also like, those are my two answers for what makes me laugh the hardest. But what I love about them is how different those movies are in terms of like what kind of humor it's trying to be. But I just think they're so brilliant and so funny and just like, so excellent, you know what I mean?
I got a sense of it, yeah. Joe King, you have been beyond a delight, an absolute delight. However, when you in a in an absolutely crazy move, went up on your roof to put Christmas lights up in March, even knowing what you knew about God and his particular feelings about certain things.
Right.
You went on the roof. It was March, wasn't even Christmas. And you thought, I just like Christmas lights, so I'll put them up.
Am I fucking crazy?
Like, you're crazy. You're messing with God, and God don't like that. And you're up on the roof, and your favorite sister was in the house just making stuff. And lightning out of nowhere struck you, and your hand was holding the Christmas lights, which were plugged in, and you got electrocuted, and your whole body caught fire. You fell off the roof, landed on your head. A load of coyotes came out.
Yep.
They smelt burning flesh. They're like, oh, that smells good. They came over, they eat you. They eat you, they dragged you apart, they ripped apart your body. Half of your face fell in a gutter, safe.
Yep.
Coyotes went off. I'm walking along, I've got a coffin with me, you know what I'm like. And I'm like, is Joy King around? I ask your favourite sister, I go, is Joy King around? Then your other sister comes out, I go, have you seen Joy King? I can see why she prefers you. And your grandma comes in, I go, you're my favourite. And then... I said, has anyone seen Joy King though? And they go, she was up there putting Christmas lights up. And I go, in March? Is she mad? Does she know what God's like? Anyway, I go outside and then I see half your face in the gutter. And I'm like, I know what's happened. She's obviously put Christmas lights up, got electrocuted, fallen off the roof, been eaten by coyotes. So I put the half a face that we have in the coffin. I say to your sisters, get a load of like memorabilia. We'll try and fill up this coffin. Anyway, they get overexcited. They think, well, we'll take a room. So they've actually emptied your room and they put it all in the coffin. The coffin is absolutely full.
Okay.
There's only enough room in this coffin for me to slip one DVD into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. One night, it's your movie night. What film are you showing the people of heaven when you're sat on brisket and it's your movie night? Go, Joey King.
I'm going to show the beautiful people of heaven. Oh, shit. Oh, why do you do this to people, Brett? Why do you do this? What are you doing?
I don't know. I would
you're making
not
me all
this.
Clammy. I'm going to show the beautiful people of heaven Old Boy. And I'm going to I'm going to show them this movie and then I'm going to tell them I'm going to make everyone question why I got into heaven, because I'm going to mess with them. I'm going to tell them that I thought all those sex scenes were really arousing even after I found out the twist of Old Boy.
Joey King, you're one of the greats. Is there anything you would like to tell anyone to look out for? To watch?
I would like to tell everyone that that's actually, I don't find that arousing, just to let everyone know. Again,
we'll
just like Goofy's laugh.
We'll cut that bit.
No, you can keep it in. It's just like Goofy's laugh.
No, we'll cut you saying you don't mean it. What?
Oh, great. Oh, my God. Do I want to tell anyone to look out for anything?
I mean, some big things coming.
I guess I've got Bullet Train trailer just came out. That was really
amazing.
Exciting. I had a lot of fun making that movie. It was kind of insane. I feel like a bit of a imposter syndrome with that movie. And then I've got a movie coming out called Princess, and I worked really hard on that. It was the hardest probably movie physically I've ever done. I trained for months and months and months to become a sword fighter and just learn how to fight. And I loved it. And I had so much fun.
Brilliant.
But other than that, maybe just look out for yourselves, you know? Tough time in the world. Just give yourself a little cozy hug and watch your favorite movies.
I think that's great. And I like that you hadn't seen all the Disney princesses, and so you became the princess yourself.
That's correct. A sword-wielding princess.
Joey King, what a delight.
I have a question for you before I go.
Okay.
I have one question for you. I'm such a fan of yours. I'm such a fan. You're the best.
Stop.
I gotta know, though. I gotta know about your posture on Ted Lasso. I have to know if that was your choice, if that's how your posture is in real life, or if playing that character has made your posture better. Because I think it's an amazing choice.
Well, I really appreciate that, Joy King. It is a choice of the character. It is how I play that character. I really appreciate that.
I think it's amazing. It's one of my favorite character traits that's subtle about your character. I think you're an amazing actor and I'm such a fan of yours. And I cannot believe you asked me to be on this podcast. It made me so excited because I've always wanted to meet you. And even though it's through a computer screen, it's just as awesome as I imagined.
Joey King, what a pleasure. You're great. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Good day. That was episode 189. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Joey. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but write about the film that means the most to you and why. That's what I want to read. I love reading it. Go on, do that. Thanks very much. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much to Joey for giving me her time. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week where my special guest, I can't say who, but I think you're going to like it. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week, and please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.